Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Well, she requested a special permit. We got it for her. It took a lot of bureaucratic stuff to get it approved, but we got it. And the mayor of Fort Mill has crossed the river to come for her annual appearance on Straight Talk. And I'm talking about the Honorable Gwen Savage. How are you?
I'm great. And I would come more frequently if you ask.
You're a tough lady to get scheduled on anything. I appreciate the time you're going to give us. You've been mayor up there how long now?
9 years, but I've actually been a civil servant with the town as a councilwoman and mayor for 21 years.
Shoo-wee. Mm-hmm. And did you ever imagine that when you started this public service, that your tiny little township would now be one of the fastest growing regions in the country?
Never. Not ever. There was no crystal ball to give us guidance on what was coming.
Oh, my gosh. So here you are. I mean, I don't know what the latest numbers are. I keep seeing them pop up. But your township now has
around 35,000.
35,000
yes.
People.
We have around 35,000 people. And I think when I first ran for council 20 years ago, we were at 10,000 or so. we have seen unprecedented growth in our community. I think the numbers bear witness. Currently, since 2020, we've had a 43.8% growth in Fort Mill. We're down now to around 7.74% annually in growth, which, you know, when you compare the two, that's a lot better, but it has taken a great deal of effort to.
So you have, it's interesting because I talk about this all the time with the school district people. You have the largest school district.
Yes.
On the smallest geographic plot of land.
Yes, we do.
And that's the same issue you've got with everything there.
We actually have more students in the Fort Mill School District than Rock Hill does in theirs.
It happened about 2 or 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and you continue to grow. Great mm-hmm. school system, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, and that is a big driver as to why so many people are looking to move into Fort Mill.
We're so blessed with that school district. They work so hard for all the accolades they receive. They're the best thing for our children and our future, and everybody wants a part of that.
I will never forget, because we broadcast it live, when we had the grand opening of, I don't know whether it was LPL or Lash or whatever, which mm-hmm. one it was. Mm-hmm. The lady who was the president of the company got up there in front of everybody, and she said, quite frankly, straight on, one of the main reasons we are here is because of what's outside that door, the Ann Springs Closed Greenway. Well, that is your mm-hmm. other big, huge plus.
Yes.
School system and the Ann Springs Closed Greenway.
Yes, that's the crown jewel in Fort Mill. We have 2,000 acres set aside in perpetuity. They've worked hard to create an endowment that will never change. It's a wonderful experience for everyone that wants to come and hike and go over the bridges and look at the lakes and, you know, just reconnect with nature. And that's what Miss Close really loved, was connecting with nature. So it's an ode to her living in Fort Mill and the many gifts that she gave us.
And to her whole family, because she brought them all together and said, listen here, I think we need to do this and this.
They also are good stewards to the community. Okay, yes, they are.
A wonderful asset. So with all this growth,
yes,
it's got to be pushing you in terms of how do we handle all this? Fire departments, police departments, mm-hmm. regular services, to the point that you just had to get yourself a new city hall, which you did, plush but not overly ostentatious. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility.
Well, that was had a double, it was a win-win situation because it's an iconic building in Fort Mill. There's no other like it. And we'd had so many people approach, developers, business people, that would have liked to have torn down that building in the center of the town and made it a high-rise apartment or a high-rise anything. We felt the need for the space and the opportunity to that buy that building and the building adjacent to it in the center of town was just an unparalleled opportunity.
And if you've never seen a building where all the windows are at a 45-degree angle, you need to go tour when it's open the new town hall for Fort Mill, because every building there is at every glass is at 45-degree angle, because the colonel loved to fly. And he got this idea from when he was in a blimp, I guess.
That's true. It's actually designed to represent the type of aircraft that he was familiar with. And it's a beautiful building, and it's going to serve us well into the future.
Okay, so here you are. With the growth rate, you're fortunate to have some impact fees.
Yes.
To help you with this.
Yes.
Those impact fees have build up a nice kitty that you've been able to use for parks and recreation, is that right?
Well, it's not just parks and recreation. We do have three categories that we collect fees in. One would be the municipal structures and equipment. One would be fire protection, and then the other is parks and rec. And the impact fee system itself is self-explanatory. It is money collected from growth to pay for growth.
Yeah.
The important part to remember, however, is that we can't just collect it and hold it. We have to have a capital plan that documents what we might or could do with that funding. Often the funding supplements money we were already storing to build facilities that were needed by the town. So just to give you a quick rundown on the fire protection and facilities, we've collected $2.1 million to date, and that supplemented our building of fire station number 2. Funding will also be used for the construction of fire station number 3, which we're targeting to start in the fall of this year. Parks and Rec, $6.6 million to date. That helped to build Banks Athletic Park, the new amphitheater at Walter Elijah, and the acquisition of additional land to expand Dobie's Bridge Park. And then the third one, municipal buildings, we've collected $3.1 million to date, and that was applied to the original move we made into the town hall annex on Tom Hall Street, and then the purchase and construction of a new municipal parking lot on Main Street, and then the purchase of land for our new operations center off of Bank Street. So the key to all of that is we're regulated by the state on how and what we can collect the money for, what we can spend it on, but also how long we can hold it. So if we had monies that we were collecting, but we could not spend them in the time frame and the category as required, we have to return them. So that's the reason there's a fourth category for transportation. And even though transportation is at the top of everyone's challenge and frustration list, the cost of those projects exceeds what we could collect, and then the time frame to implement that project is so short, it would just be collecting money from taxpayers and returning it. If there becomes a time that there is a project we are at liberty to immediately begin to collect and do that particular work to gather funding for that project.
Of course, your biggest headache is just coming through the main, get the traffic from 521, coming down good old Tom Hall Street, trying to get out to Interstate 77. And I don't know how you could ever fix that problem.
I'm sure people get tired of hearing me say it, but Fort Mill is truly a pass-through for everyone attempting to get to I-77, to the airport, to Charlotte, to the jobs that it provides for many of the residents in the regional area. So we're a pass-through for certain. So transportation is a different issue in Fort Mill than it is in other areas.
Absolutely. And again, going back to geographically, you don't have a whole lot of excess land to create some kind of beltway around that. I mean, you're stuck.
We were lucky to get the bypass, but unfortunately it was undersized at the time that the Penney's project provided it to us. So it has been congested since day one and continues to be. So we sit at the table and do like everyone else. We work to try to justify more funding to get those roadways widened, improved, but we'll never grow road systems any faster than we're growing the people that are using them.
Oh, gosh. I mean, you take a look at the bypass. I know it took forever to get the alignment. You got the alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And they built it. And fortunately, the right-of-way is big enough for two lanes in each way. But they didn't have enough money to do it then. And I know they're kicking themselves in the tail because that bypass is like being in New York City. I mean, it's just crazy. And what popped up along the bypass?
Schools.
Schools,
mm-hmm.
Housing developments,
mm-hmm.
Right? 7-Elevens. I mean, the whole routine is there.
You know, I read a lot about people's questioning, you know, why so many schools are located on the bypass, but they're also regulated by the state. They can't just build a school on any land that's available. They have to go through all the requirements the state has for egress to ensure that they can get students and teachers in and out of those locations. So it has a natural fit along that perimeter that we built the bypass.
Yeah.
So it's not as simple as it might seem.
Mm. So, we could use a few hundred more acres and maybe we could build another bypass. So, refresh my memory. The new Penney's referendum that was passed.
Yes.
Is there dollars in that to pave the other two lanes for the bypass?
There's a portion of the bypass that is being expanded, and very thoughtfully they were able to secure some of the right-of-way needed to expand the bypass. However, there's a bridge near U.S. Foods that's two-lane.
Oh, yeah.
And bridges cost a lot more than the road system does, so we'll have a complication there. But the new Penney's also includes money to widen 21 from Carewinds down to the Catawba River Bridge. So that also faces some hurdles that need to be done. But there was a point in time last year when there was an accident on 77 and closed it down.
Yes, that's right.
And the traffic filled Fort Mill to the point that we couldn't get emergency vehicles out.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we really have to put safety first. That is our first mission statement, is safety. So that was something that was extremely important.
Well, I hope you and I both live to see Highway 21 expanded to four or five lanes from the state line all the way down to the Catawba River Bridge. I mean, that's what's proposed. But people, I know you hear this all the time, people need to understand it takes 8 to 10 years to get something that's been approved to be open in reality. I mean, all the hoops you got to jump through to get this done.
It's so difficult because I also sit on RFATS. I'm the chairperson this year, and the plans that are created in RFATS are 10, 15, 20, 30, even 50-year plans. And it's difficult to do that type of planning when you look at the escalation of costs that came about after the pandemic. The actual petrol product costs raised the prices of our projects. It's all but an impossible task that we continue to work on.
So you got a comp plan you're working on.
We do.
How does all this work into the comp plan?
Comp plans are to provide a structure in which we encourage growth in certain areas. We looked at nodes that are better for businesses, nodes that are better for residential. And this particular plan, we're very fortunate. It's going to be far more in-depth than any we've had before. We are asking for public input. There's a survey. The name of our project is Our Path Forward. And we would really appreciate everyone going out and taking that survey, even if you don't live in Fort Mill, because it's the likely thing that you travel through Fort Mill to get somewhere.
That's exactly right. And I've seen the press releases on that, the online, and I think people need to do that. Take a few minutes.
We would appreciate it.
It was nice. Okay. do we have enough time left in the show? I say, okay, I got to get into this sooner or later. You, you're a mayor, which means you're in a municipality, and we know what's going on right now. The municipalities and the county are at odds, I think that's a fair way to put it,
mm-hmm.
over the rec tax, which has been in place for 17 years, providing dollars back to the municipalities for use of municipal facilities by non-city residents. Okay, we all know where this is headed. Two out of the three votes have already been taken, and it's a 5-2 against, I'm sorry, for eliminating this tax. So, your thoughts?
It's a difficult one because I'm generally surprised when other people try to tell my council how to consider the issues within our own jurisdiction. So I don't like doing that. However, I and my constituents are also constituents of the county. We do live in the county. We do pay county taxes. So it does matter what they pass and how they use the money that is distributed to the municipalities. We've had a program in place nearly 20 years that had a Parks and Rec Commission that worked hard to supplement from the county the municipal recreation programs that we were providing to incorporated and unincorporated residents. It's worked great. It was a good partnership, a good collaborative effort. It was not a break-even situation. Nobody expects Parks and Rec to ever break even.
Right.
It is not something that's a revenue stream bearing project.
Sure.
However, new thoughts, new desires, new passive parks, and the things that they'd like to put in those drive decisions that right now we're being faced with a decision that they will no longer provide that funding in the manner that they were. To help us with the creation and operation of those parks. We have asset value in those parks, not just operating, maintenance. We're not just talking referees and t-shirts. We're talking real asset management that's required to be able to provide those programs. They have talked about providing a stipend for the county residents that still want to participate in those programs. But they've also talked about a 1.5% millage rate in the municipality, and I really have a strong concern about that because you're taxing people for things they're already providing that we've already had a really good relationship with in the past, and I'm not so sure I can ever support that.
So with that being said, is there any type of collective effort by your peers, maybe with John Geddes in Rock Hill or the mayor of Tega Cay or New York or whatever, to try to say this is how we're going to do this?
We're all independently addressing it. I did attend a county council meeting last Monday, not this Monday, but last Monday. And there were speakers from Tega Cay, from Rock Hill. I know they've put information out to their communities. The town of Fort Mill has not put information out to the community as we knew it was in a budget discussion. I hate putting things out there until we know what we're facing. However, I think it's time that that information is given to everyone so that everyone can have a voice in that decision.
So the rec tax returned to Fort Mill,
yes.
Roughly how many dollars a year?
I'm not certain how many because it vacillated. There was a period in time that we received more, and then it got divided up because Tega Cay came online with some great programs, and other municipalities did as well. And then there was a break from tradition and the actual program itself, in that Lake Wylie started getting some funding for recreation in Lake Wylie, which is not a municipality, but they were providing services. So I do think there's a need to take a hard look at services versus passive parks. There's a difference. There's certainly maintenance and upkeep. But right now, north of the river, there's only one county park, and that's Niven's Lake Landing there on Lake Wylie. So I do think we have to look at it from my perspective, and my role is to do what's right for Fort Mill. And what's right for Fort Mill was that we were providing great service to unincorporated citizens and their children for the fees that were being given by the county, and it worked well.
Do you, what's the right word for this? Are you, I'll use the word offended. Are you offended by some of the rhetoric that goes on when we're talking about city residents versus county residents? I mean, it's like it's almost like the Hatfield and McCoys. You might think that exists.
I think it's unfortunate that passion drives us all to say things in the heat of the moment that we really don't believe. I've had a great working relationship with everyone around us, Rock Hill, the county, TK. I don't have any enemies that I'm aware of in any of those locations, and I prefer to work with people, not against them. So I think from the final perspective is we've enjoyed a good collaborative relationship, and we'd like to continue it.
So what is your ideal suggestion out of this that might be a compromise, at least for the interim, while this issue is feted out?
I think that's a difficult question to answer because I've not been provided with anything in writing or drawings to see where that funding would be contributing to other projects in the county. We haven't been provided anything along those lines. I know they had a study done of their parks and rec by Clemson, and obviously it provided them some direction that is resulting in this discussion. Wow. So, you know, from my perspective, all I know is that we've had a good experience in Parks and Rec. We love the people that participate in our programs, and I think it's much needed.
Well, we'll see what happens with all this. It's going to be interesting, but obviously it's out of my hands and pretty much seems to be out of your hands with two out of the three votes already taken. All right, we got to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Oh, there's a groupie over here. All right, here we go. Fresh Subs and Saddles we do at 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. If you can read the white letters, you might be able to participate. We're not giving away free cookies today. At the count of three, one, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Substation 2 has a lot of foot traffic, causing periodic repairs that have to be made. To get this work done, Substation 2 will be closed Memorial Day weekend, Saturday through Monday, May 24th to 26th. But we will reopen Tuesday, May 27th. Fingers crossed anyway, we can get it done.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Stream TV from Comporium is more than just TV. It's accessing all your favorite shows and movies from here, in there, up there somewhere, here too, we won't tell. It's restarting shows mid-show. It's TV that learns the difference between what you like and what you love. It's what you want, when you want it, where you want it. So yeah, we're more than your internet company. We're your smart TV, just got a whole lot smarter company.
Most people experience orthopedic concerns at some point in their lifetime, whether it's arthritis, back pain, injury, or any other condition. At Piedmont Medical Center, our team understands joint pain can make a huge difference in your day-to-day activities, and we stand ready to help. With minimally invasive surgical options available, the orthopedic teams in Rock Hill and Fort Mill are here to help you break free from pain so you can live more happily. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Attention sublovers, Substation 2 is turning 39 and we're celebrating. This is Charlie Ruffalo. Be one of the first 39 customers through our doors on June 6th and win one free sub every month for an entire year. But wait, there's more. The next 39 customers will snag an incredible 39% discount on any one order placed by June 5th, 2026. It's a sandwich sensation at Substation 2. Come join us June 6th as we celebrate 39 years of mouth-watering subs and salads. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across Winthrop. Fort Mill Mayor Gwen Savage is with us today. We're talking about everything under the sun, and we could not let this pass by, even though it's not your problem, but it is your problem because you have all your constituents. SilFab. Mm-hmm. SilFab Solar. We all know, I think, by now exactly what's going on. They're very close to operational. A lot of residents in the Fort Mill area are upset with it because it's so close to a new school there in Fort Mill. And I'm sure they're burning up your phone lines and asking you to do this and do that and do this and that, but you're pretty much powerless in this. Is that right?
That is a great way to put it. It is not inside the township. Therefore, the town doesn't have jurisdictional authority over any of the zoning or the permitting for that particular industry. We couldn't for any other that's not in our jurisdiction. And then when you top it off with there's a lawsuit currently, you know, we do not get involved in issues that are already being debated in a court of law.
You know, it's I'm sure there's a lot of lessons to be learned out of this. You know, this was a piece of property that had a building that was zoned for, you know, industrial use. The building sat there for quite a while. Along comes a prospective tenant, Silfab Solar. And it was sold or leased, or however the thing works. And they met all the EPA requirements and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and they're up and operational. And there's a school right behind it, and people got very concerned about the process that Silfab has and how they do it. It's not, you know, no matter what I say, I'm going to get burned on it. But, you know, it seems that reasonable people have tried to make sure that people understand the process and the safety systems that are there and how it works. And a lot of the people who are upset now are they're dealing with what ifs. You know, what if this happens? What if that happens? And I'm not a chemist. I'm not this. I'm not that. But add to this the fact that the zoning classification has changed since it was granted. That's what's created all of this.
Yeah, I do think that many people don't understand the veracity of the state of South Carolina when it comes to land rights. They're very, very dedicated to protecting an individual's rights for their land holdings. And I think once it's zoned and you begin the entitlement process, it becomes more and more difficult to make changes to that. So I do believe that the courts will determine if there is a change needed or required or if the facility can operate or not. There are organizations in the state through DHEC. I know DHEC doesn't exist anymore. It's a new acronym. But also at the national level, you know, there are many regulatory bodies that look into operations of all kinds. That information can be interpreted one or a multitude of ways. So I don't envy the people having to struggle with the legalities of this or whether it's safe or not. I don't, and I do have a heart for that. I think everybody has a right to be concerned about their own life and their own livelihood, but Fort Mill can't put a stake into this particular issue at all. We cannot.
But you know what's interesting here, and I don't know whether anybody's really thought about this, if it were to go against Silfab, that basically is going to be a taking of their property and their investment. Somebody's going to have to write them a great big, huge check for what they've invested. And I don't know how big that check would be. It'll be tens of millions of dollars, if not $100 million. I have no idea. But that's another part of this equation that somebody needs to consider where those dollars are going to come from because they were granted a legal permit to do what they've done, and they have met all the legalities of it.
So. It's a very, very sticky path when you start trying to walk back entitlements. And yes, there are punitive measures and consequences that occur. But again, the state always leans in the direction of property holder rights, yeah. Always will.
So I guess the lesson to be learned out of this is better communication.
You know, we don't just look idly in the town of Fort Mill at situations like this or others. We watch around the state, and we have begun a process to thoroughly look through our zonings and our ordinances to make sure there's clear and concise and actionable as possible.
Right.
So you will see some updates to our programs as a result of being on the sidelines of this particular issue.
All right. Well, according to the terms of your pass, your time has run out, and we're going to have to ship you back across the river to Fort Mill. Gwen Savage, thank you so much for all that you do for
Thank
Fort
you,
Mill.
Ma'am.
And thanks for being here today on our Straight Talk program.
Thank you.
And that's going to wrap us up. Our program, of course, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Mille Lacs with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, one more time. We're going to tell everybody out there on the road, on Cherry Road, what the heck we do inside here at Substation 2, where it's nice and cool. Fresh subs and salads, we do it 6 days a week. How we do it is in the white letters. Don't look at that phone. Look at me. Ready? One, two, three. Here we go.
Slice. Garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.